that the new government is truly representing the interests of their own people. And we have not an experiment in expansion on the part of NATO. We're not spending hundreds of billions of dollars in blood and treasure in exchange for magic carpets. We're exchanging for regional peace and security and an elimination, or at least a diminution, of the international threat of terror, which threatens not only the region, but the world. We saw an emanation of that threat of terror to its practical consequences in many places around the world, not the least of which the United States itself and 9/11. And it's wholly inappropriate for a nation as a leader and defender of its own people not to respond to threat. The United States did, its allies have, rallied around this, and we have hope and confidence that a mere few more months of an additional 1,000 troops being there with a takedown, a drawdown scenario not being affected in the long run. The bottom line is we will have less than half of the troops that are there now at the end of the next calendar year, and we are showing it would be irresponsible. It would be utterly irresponsible to precipitously withdraw and allow the threat of the Taliban to eliminate 13 or 14 years, however we're counting, of an investment in peace and security.
Mr. Pearson, let me stop you there. I do apologize. I just want to go to our viewer comments before I move on to Mr. Rozov and get his reaction. Our viewers have, of course, been taking part in this conversation as well online. Let's listen to what they have to say, and we'll be right back.
Deploying extra troops in Afghanistan is a hindrance to the country's peace and stability. It will only provoke further violence and increase terrorist activities. Problems of Afghans are far beyond their limits. If US and neighboring countries stop intervening, it could be solved. Pakistani and Indian infiltration is a big problem, while both are US puppets. Record opium production in presence of US and NATO. The US troops have left at the mercy of the mighty Taliban. The government of Afghanistan has failed to learn from history. Fire won't stop fire. This is just the beginning. Even if you have US troops in Afghanistan, the war will not stop because the problem is, and its root, is not identified. Again, somebody tell me why I am paying federal income tax to fund banker wars?
Just some of our viewer comments as posted through our various social media platforms. I want to go as promised to Mr. Rozov and get his reaction to what Mr. Pearson said there before we went to those comments. Mr. Rozov, Mr. Pearson there got through a few points there. I want to get your reaction to them.
I think first of all, we have to know, I mean, it's no secret that former President Karzai repeatedly rejected U.S. pressure, and it was pretty heavy-handed pressure, to sign a bilateral security agreement that would have permitted the continuation of U.S. military presence in the country, and not for 1 year, but, you know, practically speaking, indefinitely. And that, as I mentioned on Press TV several months ago, once there was a contested election result in Afghanistan between Ghani and Abdullah, that the U.S. embassy was surely going to go to work immediately to forge some kind of arrangement whereby the U.S. would be able to have that bilateral security agreement, which, by the way, is complemented with the status of forces agreement with the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, part of which, this is, by the way, something called Resolute Support, is the NATO program that permits NATO to continue training not only the Afghan National Army, but internal security forces, even at the non-military level, so that what you're going to have in Afghanistan at the end of the day is a NATO interoperable proxy force that can be used by the U.S. and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization in a country that borders, amongst other nations, Pakistan, Iran, and China, and is, you know, fairly close to Russia at that. We have to recall that shortly before the NATO summit in 2012 here in Chicago, the NATO launched the latest of what is a veritable proliferation of global partnership programs, this one actually called Partners Across the Globe, and one of the eight initial members, and all eight members, by the way, way in the Asia-Pacific region is Afghanistan. Afghanistan has become effectively a NATO client regime as well as a U.S. client regime. And that the nations in the region that have the most vested interest and the most immediate concern about what's happening in South Asia, and I'm talking about India, Pakistan, China, the Central Asian countries and Russia and Iran, are the nations that should be determining the security environment in that area, and not nations from Western Europe are using. Once again, Afghanistan is a training ground for future wars, and future wars, I fear, as the case with Ukraine exemplifies right now, in Europe and poised towards Russia.
Mr. Peterson, 2 points there that I wanted to bring up with you of what Mr. Rozov there said. Firstly, about Ashraf Ghani Ahmadzai, certainly it does seem that he's in the good books of the United States because he did sign that bilateral security agreement that Hamid Karzai had refused to, many say for many legitimate reasons. And secondly, about this training that you spoke about, even you know the Pentagon's own Afghanistan watchdog said the training is lagging behind any of its stated goals. Again, I hate to repeat myself, but 13 years after the fact, that does seem quite embarrassing, does it not?
Well, actually, it does. I'll agree with you on that. And it is probably not as vigorous as it should be in order to accomplish its stated objectives, and that is to ensure the peace and security and prosperity of the region, and I should say independence of the region. Independence not only of Western influence, but independence of regional influences, both north, south, east, and west, which may threaten it. What we have is an opportunity to ensure through the Status of Forces Agreement that the investments that have been made there by Afghanis as well as by their allies and all that has been spent in blood and treasure, as we have said before, has an opportunity to succeed. When that success comes, we hope, in order for that success to come, it needs to have the modicum of continued investment in order to ensure its preservation. When that success comes, it will be time, and I will be there with your guest and with others to say the it's time for the allies to leave. I'm sure that in the Status of Forces Agreement, this is already happening. They will be withdrawing. They are projected to withdraw. There is no change in that objective. What we need to do is to ensure that there is that minimum number of troops there and resources and investment of will in order to achieve the purposes of Afghani independence and freedom and lack of intimidation of the world emanating from a terrorist threat from Afghanistan.
Mr. Rozov, I imagine you would disagree with that, Afghani independence, et cetera.
I mean, the U.S. has never been interested in the independence or the territorial integrity or the national sovereignty, surely, of Afghanistan. We have to recall this didn't begin in 2001. It began no later than 1978, where the U.S. went to work covertly to sponsor terrorist attacks inside the inside Afghanistan, from Pakistan. We're talking about the Mujahideen coalition, and the fact that what I think most Americans don't realize is two of the three armed groups the U.S. and NATO claim to be fighting in Afghanistan, Taliban is one of them. The other two are, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar's group and another Mujahideen group. The very people funded and trained and armed by the United States throughout the 1980s are now the forces that the United States is fighting the longest war in its history by its own account. Let's not talk about the U.S. wanting to, maintain the pristine sovereignty of Afghanistan. It has meddled in Afghan affairs at least back to 1978, and that is the very genesis of the problem. And you don't solve a problem by compounding, the problem. And you don't, solve by military means what is in essence, a security problem, a socioeconomic problem, and a question of, regional development. Surely the Shanghai Cooperation Organization would be able to do more for the all-around infrastructural and economic development of Afghanistan than the billions of dollars that my fellow guest rightly says have been poured down the drain. But we have to recollect of those tens of billions of dollars went to Afghanistan, not only the lion's share, but the vast preponderance of those monies was spent on the military.
Okay, and we just have under a minute left, gentlemen, so I just want to give 30 seconds to each of you for your final thoughts. Mr. Peterson, go ahead.
Okay, problems are not fixed in time and space. Problems evolve over time. The origin of the Afghanistan problem right now, if we recall, was a Russian literal occupation of that country. I should say a communist Russian, a Soviet occupation, which we were fighting in the larger context in the Cold War, which became a hot war in Afghanistan. We stood shoulder to shoulder with the Afghani people, assisting them in defending themselves.
That okay, Mr. Peterson, sorry, I do apologize. We'll have to continue this conversation at another date.
And
Mr.
Rossoff,
go ahead with
problem.
Your final comments.
Yes, sir.
You're asking me?
Yes.
Yeah, the United States supported the like of Gulbuddin Hekmatyar to the tunes of, you know, tens of billions of dollars. And the Taliban grew out of the Afghan Mujahideen as surely as night follows day. The U.S. is the source of the problem in Afghanistan. It cannot be a solution.
Okay, gentlemen, we'll leave it there at that. But of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to this program. That was Mr. Rick Rossoff, who was speaking to us live from Chicago. He is with the Stop NATO International Network. And we were also joined from Washington by Mr. Frederick Peterson, who is a Congressional Defense Policy Advisor. And of course, viewers, we do appreciate your comments and, of course, watching. Until next time, good night.